Good morning. So I don't understand why there aren't shoes up here. There were sisters in the back taking shoes off. And if you don't know what that means, talk to me after service. I'll let you know. You're not watching The Voice. And that shows how long I've known about that reference. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for your grace, your mercy, the peace that you can only bring. I pray, Father, that you will speak through me this morning, that you will allow your Holy Spirit to let its voice shout, Father. Say what you want your children to hear. I thank you so much for adding to our kingdom today, your kingdom, Father. She came at the right time. She has a free lunch. Amen. That's awesome. But I thank you for her soul, Father. I thank you that she gets to see you face to face one day. Father, I beg you that you will grant that to every person in this room. You absolutely have given us the opportunity. I pray, Father, that we will take it. Increase our love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please turn your Bibles over to John 15. So how are you guys doing this morning? Yeah, it's been a great service, hasn't it? Incredible service. You know, as a church, we read the book of Jesus this whole year talking about Jesus in action and Jesus indeed action. I pray that these sermons, these lessons have not just inspired you to feelings, but actions for yourselves. You know, Jesus lived the way he lived to give us an example on how we should live as well. To live radically different lives like he did. The way he lived his life, it caused life. But because of that, we're allowed to go to heaven. Amen? Oh, that's a big amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Come on now. John 15, 13. You know, as we read these verses, as we go through the scriptures this morning, I want us to focus on a lesson that I believe that Jesus wants us to know. You know, he came to teach a lot, but I believe he wanted to teach us a specific lesson on how we're God from the hearts. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. So here Jesus is teaching his disciples what true love is. Man, there's been so many songs, poems, limericks written about love. What love? Do you know what love is? I think we have some idea of what we think love is, but I think the question is begged to answer, what is love? If we took a poll of random strangers and asked love, give me some answers. What do you think they might say? What? Feeling. Say it again, louder.
Connecting.
Connecting. Good. Somebody else. Campus, come on, be with me. Sean, lead. Come on, bro. Help me out. What is love? You got your girlfriend sitting next to you. What is love? You better know what love is. That's what she just did. I saw her neck. Family, there you go. He might not be as much trouble. Maybe. Good answer, good answer. Honey, what's love? Patience. Whoa. She's married to me. Amen. That makes a lot of sense that she would say that. You know, we did poll some of our teens yesterday. Why don't we cue up that video? It worked.
One, go.
I'm Faith Bender, and to me, love is putting someone before yourself and sacrificing things that you really care about for someone else's benefit.
One, go.
Hi, I'm Christian Wills,
And to me, love is so much more than just attraction. It is what the Bible says it is, obviously. Patient, kind, a bunch of words, right? And love is just like, it's, you have to put more thought into it than just, oh, this person's there and I like that person and there we go, it's love. It's not just that. There's a lot more that goes into it. And yeah, and love is amazing when done properly.
One, go.
Hi, my name is Savannah McShane, and to me, love is showing compassion to others. A good example is when my friend was down, I went to Walmart late at night. I had $7, and even though I had bad customer service, I still got her great gifts, and just seeing her reaction, that seeing that I loved her, that I had compassion when she was having a hard time, that to me shows that if I love someone, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make them feel happy again, and being there for them always.
One, yeah. Go.
Hi, my name is Christian Craig, and what love is to me is pretty complicated in some standards, but to me, it's really hard for me to understand, but I also think it's something really beautiful that I share with a lot of my friends and my family, but it really takes me a while to develop it with some people, but usually it comes pretty naturally because like, I'm usually a loving person.
Two, one, go.
I'm Jared Adams, and to me, love is patient. You see, if my mom were to want me to do chores, and I don't do them for like a long time, the love there would be her being patient for me to do it. So to me, love is patient.
Amen. That is love, ladies and gentlemen. Love is patience. I was flipping for not doing it when I was supposed to. All right, Betty, you heard what your son said. No whippings yet. So there are millions of songs about love. If we learn this from the world, we're going to hear it from people who are not qualified to tell us what love is. Their definitions of love is, what did you hear? I heard godly convictions. Where did that come from? Amazing kids, but they got it from their parents and from our amazing teen ministry and from the kids ministry. It came from God. It came from the church. Amen. It came from scriptures. Their friends would not have the same definition. I can promise you that. But it shows that God is at work in our teen ministry. Amen. You know, if we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap the world has fallen into, seeking love from sources not give us what we're looking for. It's going to cause us more damage than good. If we don't learn what love is, God, look over in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, before we read our text in Mark, I want us to explore what love is. We throw that word out. We see each other, you know, in fellowship. Hey, bro, love you. You don't even know my name. You call me bro because you couldn't remember my name. If you love me, you should know my name. Right? Jokes. Everyone's a comedian at church. But we need to go to the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to go to God because God is love, and we're going to look at that scripture in a second. But let's talk about what love is. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Now, I want to warn you, if you've been coming to church for a long time in your Bible, if you've read this verse many times, you can read past. We've done it so many times, we read it, it's like, yeah, I've heard that. Well, let me ask you a question. Is this one of the most difficult scriptures to you? Shucks, it better be, because this is hard. As we read it, I want you to really think about it. You close your eyes if you want, whatever you need to do to get in the zone. Understand what love is. It says in verse 4, it says, love is patience. My wife said it right off the bat. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is proud. It does not It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no... I'm going to read that again. It keeps no records of wrong. Do you know how to love? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. This is love. This is what God designed love to be. Do you know how to love? God himself, 1 John 4 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Do you know how to love? The title of this sermon is Love in Action. Your actions will be incomplete without love. And if you only love as the world does, are you really loving? Loving is not emotions, though emotions is part of it. It's not just action, though action is part of it. Love is a very deep preach on this for certain, forever, for a year. But we're not going to do that today. What is love? You know, when you hear the line, what is love, songs pop up in your head, don't they? They do. I'm not going to sing any for you because you'd leave. But, you know, I think about that song. What's love got to do with it? Love got to do with it. That's what people think about God sometimes. What's love got to do with it? Why is he forcing me into a relationship with him? Why to love God? Well, you ain't got to do anything. It would just make sense if you did, because of what he's done for you. The Bible says that God is love. Everything for us is straight out of love. You know, this morning, in the knowledge of what true love is, I do have one question for you. Do you love God? Don't answer that so quickly. Because in the world, we can very quickly not understand what true love is. Is it self-seeking? You know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, you know, we could treat God like sometimes we've treated our parents in the past. In the right way, and out comes a $20 bill. It's like we're the genie in the bottle. Don't you treat God like that sometimes? God, I've been having my quiet time every day. God, I've been going faithfully every day. God, $20 comes out. That is not love. Do you love God? Let's look over in Mark 12. So why are we talking about this morning? We're going to read why right now. Mark 12, starting in verse 28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, of all of the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Yeah, you kind of chuckle at the last part, right? It's like, people down, man. We're going to go straight to the heart. You notice a lot of times people come to you with craziness, and they're going to be complaining about other people, doing all this kind of stuff. And you just tell them, all of a sudden, they don't want to talk too much anymore. Because they're like, oh, man, you know, I'm in the wrong. Let me just shut my mouth. Jesus had about doing that. You know, Jesus was constantly, was constantly teaching about the hearts. Why? Why was Jesus all about heart? Why was he the teachers of the law? The teachers of the law did exactly what James said. They taught the law, all 613 of those laws. The Mosaic law had 613, and God had a purpose for those laws. At that time, it was to give people direction and to teach them his standards. But the law was not designed to be used forever. To fulfill the law, to fulfill the requirements of the law. Jesus going to the cross was to fulfill the requirement of the law because we couldn't. He didn't come to fulfill legalism. Oh boy, we struggle with legalism, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. How many times have you had your choir? How's your purity, bro? How's this, bro? How's that, bro? Let's check it off. I remember I had a discipling partner one time that I had to fire. And I fired him. He was my best friend. Just got baptized. He was my discipling partner probably for about 3 months. Hey, bro. All of a sudden, he didn't know my name. Now it was bro. But hey, bro, how's your purity? Good. Okay. Thank you.
You can't pace. You can't do
it. I can't pace. Maybe I'll take it off. I can't do the Chris Rock. We'll still make it work. Amen. All right. Is this better? So we were talking one day. He was calling me. He was like, how's your purity? How's your evangelism? How's this? And I would answer him for weeks on end. Every day he would call me. He would ask the same three questions and then hang up. So then one day he called me and said, hey, bro, how's your? I said, hold on, you're fired. He was like, what? I said, you're fired. Fired from what? I said, you cannot be my discipling partner anymore. He goes, why? I said, because we've lost our friendship and now it's a relationship based on legalism. And I'm sure I didn't say it as eloquently as that, but I fired him nonetheless. Why? Because I wanted a relationship with him that was what it was. Genuine. It was real. We could talk about anything. But now we were relegated to these three questions. God does not want to relegate our relationship with him to any system. God wants to have a relationship with us based on love. He wants us to be his children. When my kids come home from school, I don't have an order for them before that we can converse. I'm just excited when they say hi because, you know, they're teenagers now and their room is their domain. Amen? You parents didn't laugh. I guess that's not your kids, but that's my kids. I appreciate that. You know, the teacher asked, out of the 613 commandments from the Mosaic Law, which was the greatest one? You know, I think by Jesus' response, I believe he had the right heart. But when you look at this question, it can be taken the other way as well. All right, Jesus, what is the one thing that I have to do to make it? Don't we want to know that? Give me the bottom line. What do I have to do to be a disciple and to remain a disciple? And God's like, no, that's not the issue. The issue is not your formula. We try to formalize everything. We try to make everything into a system. God is an organic God. God wants a relationship with us, guys. It is not this thing that you could just plug and play. In any relationship, you got to work through the bumps. Have you ever had any bumps with God? Boy, if you haven't, they're coming. I've had conversations with God like, I don't like you right now. Why are you doing this to me? I'm not feeling you. He's a big God. He can take your realism. Because guess what? He already knows how you're feeling. So you could come with these contrived prayers and be all mad and angry and talking to somebody else about how you're feeling towards God and then go to God, God, I love you so much, Father. Father, you are the Omega. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he knows that. You don't got to recite his names to him. I think he kind of knows who he is. Why don't you just talk to him? Man, if you're feeling goo-goo, gaga, in love with God, tell him. Man, you're the best. You're whatever. But when you're feeling some stuff, when you're experiencing real life, because I don't know, some of y'all, when I ask you how you're doing, you're always doing well. Please teach me how to do that. There was twice this week that I wasn't doing
awesome bro. And I thank God for the relationships I have, number one being God. He's the one that we have to run to. You know, I've been a disciple 23 years. It's taken me work to figure that part out. That God is the one, the only one that can handle my burdens. You know, I love my wife to death. I can't go to her with every one of the thoughts that come into this crazy head. I would drive her bananas. She's like, this man is one day, what? And then, oh my gosh, is he a Christian? Now, that might just be me. Maybe you're just like this all the time. And I don't believe that's the case. I've gotten some of your calls. I know that's not the case at all. And your wife has called me too. Amen? Let's just keep it real. Why are you going to be fake? You trying to fake God? God knows exactly what you're thinking. If you're feeling like walking away from the church, you don't think he knows? We might not know, but he knows. Reconcile your relationship with God today. It is so urgent and so important. We don't know the hour or the day he's going to come. We just know he is. I just kind of want to be ready when that happens. Amen? So this man asks him the question, and Jesus gives the answer. Obviously the right answer. He gives him the Shema. The Shema is a prayer. It's exactly this. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, 9 through, 4 through 9. And it's, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm sorry, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the Shema. The Jewish people recite this prayer daily, several times a day. Now, I know that we're not into reciting prayers, and I can understand that. But you know what? This one is a good one. This is one that would kind of keep us, and you know what? Me and my wife have been studying this out for a minute and realize, you know what? This is if Jesus said this is the greatest command, I'm going to recite this one every day. I'm going to keep this in the forefront of my mind, that the Lord our God, first, he is the Lord. He is our God, and he is one. And that he does have a standard. He wants me to love him with everything. How you doing with that this morning? Do you love God with your everything? I mean, today's December 3rd, 4th, whatever. We're about to go celebrate the birth of Jesus by buying everyone in the house exorbitant gifts. Really? That's how we celebrate the birth of Jesus? That's loving ourselves. Jesus is not going to play my Xbox. Oh, it got quiet up in here. Sorry, kids. You might not find that switch under the table anymore, under the tree anymore. It says, love God with everything and love others like you love yourself. Do you love yourself? If you do, how are you doing with your brothers and sisters? Who are your brothers and sisters? Everybody. Some of them are the good brothers and sisters that are obeying the Father, and some are out to lunch. You used to be out to lunch. Some of us still are. Some of us are still rebelling against God, though we come to church on a weekly basis. Authenticity is what we need to be going after, guys. It's not about being religious. It's not about wearing a shirt and tie. It could be a lot of sin up in here, dressed it up and looking cute. But you know what? God knows everything. On a daily basis, I need to strive with loving God with my whole heart. What does that mean? To love him authentically and emotionally, not out of duty or compliance. Imagine if you got into a relationship, a marriage, and you had to love that person. Would that feel real? No. Is that a relationship you want to be a part of? You shouldn't. We get married because we want to give ourselves to each other, willingly, not out of duty. Loving God with all my soul. It sounds like a deep, inclusive love. That I am giving him everything, everything that's deep within me. He knows my deep desires. He knows my deep fears. He knows my deep anxieties. Anybody here struggle with anxiety? You don't have to admit it, but I'm just saying. Okay, cool. Appreciate you. I do too. I'm a very anxious person. So when there's a crowd, I'm like, oh. I've learned how to fake it real good. I'm from New York. There's crowds everywhere. So I would be going crazy if I didn't learn how to deal with it. Now, God gives us abilities to deal with stuff. But how is he going to help you if you don't ask him to help you with that? You know, a lot of times people say, well, it's just my cross to bear. That may be so. How do you know? Maybe it's the cross that God wants to remove from you. Maybe it's something God wants to heal from you. Don't walk around with crosses that maybe were never meant to be yours forever. Maybe they were temporary for a purpose. Just think about that for a minute. Well, not for a minute. Think about that as you go home. Loving God with all my mind seems that he owns my thought life. That I allow him and I love him from my thoughts. Not just at church. Not just on Wednesdays and Sundays. Not just at my daytime appointments. Not just when it's religious time. He owns me and I want to be owned by him. It is a relationship based on love. Loving God with all my strength sounds very intentional. No one goes to the gym by mistake. You go because you have a purpose. You're either trying to lose some or you're trying to gain some. You're trying to gain some muscle, right? You don't work out. Well, I've seen it. People walk around and they work out haphazardly. They go, they touch something, and they walk around. They go to something else, and they walk out to something else. They touch something. They, you know, some of the girls think they're cute. They come in with makeup on. I'm like, you're supposed to hide ugly up in here, girl. I don't know what you're trying to do. You way too cute to be up in here. Because I smell and look ugly, and I like it that way. When you go to the gym, you're intentional. You're using your strength to build. How are you using your strength to build in your relationship with God? Are you intentionally fighting those urges to do other things with your time, with your resources, with your energy? God wants us to be very intentional in our love with him. He doesn't want it to be haphazard. He doesn't want us one day being in an exciting relationship with him and the next day contemplating walking away from him. He does not want us in that emotional roller coaster, guys. He wants us to be secure in him. That's the love that God wants us to have. You know, this teacher of the law was motivated by the heart of Jesus. And it's amazing that Jesus used the Shema to teach him. It was something that was integral into their culture. When you're reaching out to the lost, are you using things that they already know about to help them to know God? You know, sometimes people come to church and some of these songs are intimidating. They're songs they've never heard before. Bro, awesome, all of our church lingo. It could be a little off-putting at times because people are like, whoa, everybody says bro. Everybody's so cool. I'm not cool. I got to start saying bro. Or awesome. One time I said, let's give awesome the day off. But that would be awesome. But we need to be like Jesus. Jesus used the things around him. I mean, he even told stories about things that they could relate to. Why? Because Jesus is love. You know, if you're a Christian this morning, let us maintain the heart to be all in the kingdom. What does that mean? What does it mean to be all in? It means you don't have an exit strategy. You don't have a back door. You ain't even contemplating leaving. Because it's not about the church. It's about your relationship with God. When we love God, where else am I going to go? There's nowhere else to go. We need to protect each other with our words. We need to be encouraging. We need to speak truth into each other's lives, even especially when it's uncomfortable. You heard? Especially when you start going in and somebody starts getting real quiet, don't be quiet. You just hit a nerve and you're trying to promote healing. Now, I'm not saying to be loud. Maybe you might want to back up a little bit and not be like, yo, so, you know, that's not helpful. You might be like, you know, you seem like that really hit something. What's going on? How you feeling? Some people might react, and I've done this. Hey, you know what? You need to back up right now because I'm feeling some stuff, and I don't want to hit you. I'm saying, I'm feeling very defensive right now. This is not helping me right now. Can you love me enough to just back up? But do you back up forever? No, because then you didn't really have a relationship with that person in the start with. You give them some space, but you go back in love. You tell them you've been praying for them, if you've been praying for them. So pray for them. You're offering encouragement. You're not knowing somebody's in sin and just leaving them in a corner so that Satan can continue to abuse them. You go after them. You love them like God loved you. If Jesus wanted to stay comfortable, he would have stayed in heaven in that throne that he has up there. But he decided to get real uncomfortable, come down here and deal with us, a bunch of knuckleheads, to save our lives. You know, if you're not a Christian this morning, and only between you and God know that, there's encouragement for you as well. That journey can begin today. Not today after service, not today, now. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a different thought process. Repent today. How do you do that practically? Talk to somebody. Talk to the person who brought you. You know, talk to the staff. Talk to any disciple in the room. If we love God, we can help people. Let's keep it real. Love people from the heart. Many people will become disciples. You know, I implore you not to begin 2018 without really taking the time to evaluate your relationship with God. Let's have a year of growth. I don't know about you guys. This year has been a very challenging year for me and my family. We have taken it on the chin several times, but guess what? We're still standing. And that's because of God and his kingdom. There is some time, I don't know for you, but there is going to be some time between now and the end of the year that I will sit down and I bet you I'm going to weep bitter tears because I want to get close to my dad. I need that time with him and ask him to heal me through the things I've been through and help me to learn to love him more. I pray that you can have some time as dad. You know, as we close out our sermon, remember that love is not just a feeling. If you get nothing out of this morning, please get that in order to love God, our feelings must work together with our convictions and our love must spur us to spiritual action. And that's what we see at the cross. You guys can start bringing the communion. You know, as we take communion this morning together, we have to remember that God's love was displayed at the cross. You know, if Jesus just loved God emotionally, he would have ran out that, he would have called those 10,000 angels to rescue his flesh. But he didn't because he loved us. And he had conviction about what God called him to do. You know, he went to the cross so that we couldn't. Even if we went to the cross, that still wouldn't pay the debts that he paid. Why? Because we are not perfect sacrifices. He was. Jesus was without sin. He sacrificed himself so that we might have the opportunity to have a relationship with him. I pray we don't take that lightly. I pray that we go after it, and God bless. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for teaching us what love is. We thank you so much just for the sacrifice that you made on the cross. We pray, Father, that you will teach us authenticity in a relationship with you, God, where we will strive to have a deeper relationship with you. Thank you that it's a journey. Thank you that you don't expect us to have perfection today. But God, you do expect us to walk towards you. Thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross. And I pray, Father, that we will remember all that you've done for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.